reading from 1 Corinthians 12, a well-known passage. I should read actually the whole chapter, but I won't. I'm just going to read the first 11 verses this morning. It's all about spiritual gifts. And he says, Paul writing to that church in Corinth says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one says, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. No one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom to another. The message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the gift of interpretation. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And of course it goes on to spell out that in just a wee bit more detail. I was reading about a teacher of a catechism class, and he wanted his class to memorize the Apostles' Creed and to repeat a clause by clause in class, with each person, just so we're going around the class, each person having a clause. And as they started, the first boy said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the second boy said, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And I went on till one boy said, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Then there was dead silence, which was broken by the next boy in line blurting out, please, sir, the boy who believes in the Holy Ghost is absent today. I sometimes wonder if people who should believe in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit are absent. Or put another way, the Holy Spirit seems to be absent in many Christians' lives today. There's an absence not just of knowledge about God's Spirit, but also about the reality of God's Spirit in individual lives and in the ministry of many churches. Some even refer to the Holy Spirit as the forgotten person in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. On the other hand, there has been, I think, a renewal of interest about the Holy Spirit brought about by the influence of the modern charismatic movement, which one can trace back at least 100 years to a church in Azusa, actually it was a university, I think, a revival in California. Or perhaps more recently in the 60s within mainstream churches with the book that was written by Dennis Bennett, an Episcopalian from California, who wrote 9 o'clock in the morning. You read that one? Anybody read it? Fantastic. Just read that. Yeah, quite a beautiful one. Charismatic theology finds its roots in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, and the renewal movement in our own church over the last 40 or 50 years has been quite influential. Now, I don't have time this morning to go into everything in 20 minutes. I might find that I have to do something extra next week, but I just ask this question, who is the Holy Spirit? We refer to him as the third person in the Trinity. And the one thing I want to emphasize this morning, that he is a person. How many times have you heard the Holy Spirit referred to as it? The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. He is in a relationship with us, his people. And if we read through John 14 to 16, you see him again and again being referred to as having intellect, emotions, and will. Now let me just touch on one or two attributes of this personhood of the Holy Spirit. We're told he speaks. In Revelation 2:7, we read that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And he spoke to all seven of those churches in Asia. And he speaks to us today. If only we'll stop long enough to listen, we clutter our lives up far too much with noise and activity, and we don't hear his words speaking into our lives. Secondly, he prays. Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Thirdly, he witnesses. John 15:26 says, when the Counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. So when we witness or share the gospel with other people, we don't do it all by ourselves. We think we do. The Spirit of God is there alongside us. He helps us when we witness. And if we could grasp that, it would make us realize that it's not us, but God who works in people's lives. And then fourthly, he leads. In Acts chapter 8, we've got this marvelous passage of the Ethiopian guy who had gone down to worship in Jerusalem. And on his way home, he was in the chariot reading from Isaiah chapter 53. But he was a bit confused about what he read about. And then in verse 29, he said, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay by, and or near it. And he did. And he was able to open up that passage. But the passage says that God, by his Spirit, had told him to go and stand and help and lead that particular individual. Go to that chariot and stay by it. And he did and helped him. Ever had that sort of experience? Where God has told you to go and speak to somebody, and you probably ignored it. But even if that doesn't happen, and perhaps such as, I guess it's a fairly spectacular way to know the Spirit's leading, are we prepared to listen? Do we listen to that still small voice sometimes prompting us to go to an individual and say something to them, to share the gospel with them? When Jesus was talking with his disciples prior to his arrest, he was preparing him for that time when he would be gone. And he's saying, I'm going to the Father, but you're going to be left here by yourself. But I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be here. He is part of me. He will witness to the Father. He said, I have much more to say to you in John's Gospel, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he, that is the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He said, all that belongs to the Father is mine. And Jesus said, that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And there we have a wonderful picture of the Trinity, the Spirit of God working together with the Father and with the Son. He is not an it, he is a person. And then fifthly, he appoints. In Acts 20, Paul was saying farewell to the elders in Ephesus because he knew that he wasn't going to be with them. He would never see them again. And he says, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will or the whole counsel of God. Keep watch over yourselves, he says, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, the Holy Spirit has directed them into their current roles. And when we ordain and induct people in the church, whether it be elders or whatever, into new roles, we acknowledge the work of God's Spirit in directing people into those roles. And that's been true of the eldership here over 100 years. that God has appointed people and inducted them into roles. Now, I personally wouldn't be here today if the Holy Spirit had not directed my life. So when I say I believe the Holy Spirit, I'm saying that he is a person with attributes and characteristics of you and I. He can also be lied to. He can also be insulted, blasphemed, or grieved. Ephesians 4:30 explains it this way. He's not some supernatural force, as some seem to suggest, like gravity or magnetism. He is a person. He is the third person in the Trinity. And we should treat him like a person. But having said all that, he's also God. He's also divine. He's eternal. He's powerful. In Luke 1:35, where the Spirit comes upon, you remember the story, comes upon Mary, and she's pregnant. He's everywhere. Where can I go from your presence or from your spirit? Psalm 139, verse 7. I can't go anywhere. You know where I am, Lord, and even if I try and snuck away into a little room somewhere and hide away or get on the tractor and go out into the boondocks out the back there somewhere and put the tractor into neutral and just pause and think, I can't be seen here. But I can. He's everywhere. He knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Even the deep things of God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And then one final one, he's creator. He made us. Go back to Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There are many other attributes to describe the Holy Spirit, both from our side, or our humanity side and God's side. But what I'm saying now is going to be incomplete. Because there is always going to be that element of mystery when we're talking about God. The Holy Spirit, as we've just seen, this evident and present in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man in our own image. The word for God is plural. But perhaps we could say that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is more developed perhaps in the New Testament. The very last command of Jesus in Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you, and the Spirit is with you right to the end of the age. God is with us now, right here. So we can say that God is with us. We're never left alone. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper, he says. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And while the Holy Spirit has always been there from time's start until eternity, we need to take him into our own lives. As Christians, the Holy Spirit is just wanting to fill us with new life and new strength. And we need to be open to his work in our lives. And when we become Christians, that person is available to all. The Holy Spirit's available to all. For some of us, we need a fresh experience of the Holy Spirit. Some might call it an infilling, some might call it a baptism. I don't particularly care what you call it. What I do care about and what God desires is for Christian people to know that the Spirit is in their lives and they walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and not in their own strength. Now, I don't have time, as I said at the beginning, to look at all aspects of the teaching about the Spirit. But I just want to affirm his willingness to enter into a relationship with each Christian believer. Do I believe in his transforming power? Yes, I do. Do I believe that he gives gifts? Yes, I do. And we've read about some of them this morning. Do I believe in healing? Yes, I do. Do I believe in the gifts of tongues and prophecy? Yes, I do. I believe that the Holy Spirit, who works in the lives of his people, is far more able to do what we have allowed him to do perhaps in the past. Because many of us are scared to let go, to let God be truly part of their lives. I don't understand everything about God. The Bible itself doesn't always fully explain to perhaps our satisfaction. It just states certain things, but certain things that are enough for us to realize there is far more for us to experience than that which is currently the case. We long to see our church go forward. It's going to go forward as the Spirit leads us, not as we plan and desire. Would somebody talking to us know that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives? Is there fruit? Are there gifts? If someone came into church today, would they know that God is present? I could preach for a whole year about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I brought a whole pile of books down with me to think about it. He's real. And he wants us to be part, or he wants to be part of our lives now and always. So let's just take a few moments to pause and reflect on where he is situated in our individual lives and in the life of this church. He waits for us. The early Christians were radically changed when they encountered the Holy Spirit. And that same personal presence and power is available today. So let's just pause for a few moments to think about where he is in our lives and in the lives of our church. Lord, we confess that sometimes we either rush ahead of you or drag the chain. May we hear what the Spirit says to the church at this time. May we reflect on our own standing before you. Lord, we long to see a new freshness in our own lives and in the lives of this community. We pray that you might just give guidance. Speak to us, O Lord, in that still small voice, that we might hear. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn or chorus, Spirit of the Living God, Breathe Afresh. We're going to sing it through twice.